Hi, everybody, and welcome to Let's Talk About It. I'm your host, Savannah, the borderline chick. And on today's episode, you're going to hear me and my daughter talk about important things to each other and banter back and forth about life and what's going on and deep conversation. We wanted to do a podcast because I had not done one in a while because I've been really uninspired and just in a funk. I have really been just isolated and busy working on my family, and I have really felt like lately I haven't had anything to talk about, or that anything I did have to say wasn't important, or that nobody was listening. I'm sure we all go through that phase. I just wanted to give this brief introduction to the next 3 or 4, possibly 5. I'm not sure, because I'm still breaking them down. Podcasts that you are about to hear. I am doing some editing because I am trying to, have a more professional sounding podcast, but at the same time, I want you to know that this is raw, real moments that I'm having, and I think that those are authentic moments, and I would like to share them with you. So if you hear us busting out Spice Girls or something crazy like that, do not be alarmed. It is happening. LOL. So anyway, I hope you enjoy the next few podcasts that are just literally just authentic with me and my daughter. Like I said, some of it is in-depth conversation about mental health, and some of it is just banter back and forth about our lives and what's going on in them. Thank you. Hi, and welcome to Let's Talk About It. I'm your host, Savannah, the borderline chick, and co-host, Minnie, borderline chick, my daughter, Alana. Hey, everybody. She's being quiet. You gotta speak up, Lana, because we don't have a microphone right now because we're driving.
Alrighty. So, Mom.
Yes.
Good. Explain what and why we are talking about this.
Well, to be honest with you, me and her were having a conversation about the podcast we were gonna have this evening, and we kind of just like, hey, this is a we started having a conversation, and we were like, hey, this is kind of a good conversation, maybe we should just go ahead and record this. So here we are. We're gonna start over. We just were into it about 1 minute, so it's no big deal for us to start over, and we're just gonna have a conversation, and it may lead into some other things later, but for now we're just gonna have a casual conversation. I'm going to answer some questions for her that she has, and kind of wing this. It's been a while since we did a podcast, or since I've done a podcast, and we got a long drive ahead of us tonight, so here we are.
Well, as we were just talking about Mom,
Yes.
we were talking about some of the symptoms of, or some of the signs of borderline personality disorder, and how some of those signs I kind of relate to. And
Right.
I asked you, why do you think I could possibly have BPD?
Okay, so since I have to be completely technical, it is, they say that diagnosing anybody under the age of 25 with a personality disorder is unethical because your mind, your brain is still developing. You to say that it's completely unheard of would be absurd. I think, so I want to, like, I have a post on Quora, you've read that post, where I know that, looking back, I can see signs and symptoms of my BPD, from when I was a pipsqueak, knee high to a big wheel. Not really that little, but as a teenager, I showed a lot of outward symptoms. So, going on to explain to you why I think that you have your, where you come up with a lot
of the symptoms.
Of the symptoms. Sorry, I'm driving down the road, everybody. So, bear with me. And it's nighttime. For one, you can write people off just as quick as you tack them on. You know what I mean?
Yes, I've lost a lot of friends from just easily being able to ghost everyone. I just go through phases where I don't want to talk to anyone, and I won't, and it doesn't bother me whatsoever.
Yes. So that is actually a symptom. You can devalue people just as quick as you value them. That is definitely a sign of borderline. You also have a lot of black and white thinking. There's no gray area for you.
Can you further explain that for me?
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to give you an example that is very easy to get.
All right.
Okay, so it is an analogy that is totally off subject, but you'll understand. Okay, so it's a summer day. The sky is blue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Even if there's some clouds in the sky, it is blue. If there's more clouds in the sky, then there is blue sky, but it's the sun's still shining. To you, it is still blue.
Yeah.
To somebody else, it may be cloudy.
Yeah.
But to you, it is blue. Now, if it was storming outside, and you know sometimes how that storms, but the sun's still out?
Yeah.
To you, it would be stormy and the sun would not be out.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's no gray area there. There's no half and half. There's, you like your tea sweet or unsweet, but like super sweet or no sugar at all. There's no slightly sweetened. There's no sweet and low. It's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is that starting to make sense?
Yeah, it clicks now.
Okay. So, like, there is absolutely no happy medium middle ground for you whatsoever.
Yeah.
So, thinking about that right now, can you recall a time that maybe I was like that? Or maybe even still am and I don't realize it?
Not off the top of my head. I'm a little tired.
Okay. When I have what I call an episode, mm-hmm. which I've only had one in a really long time, but I call it episode. It's what I mean by episode is where I'm like,
God darn, those are bright.
Those are very bright lights.
Jesus.
What I mean by episode is where I feel like the world is crumbling around me. And there's no hope, and everything is like the world itself is non-existent, and like, I mean, it's going to be non-existent, like it's blowing up and everything is dark and there's no hope. And I feel like
like nothing is ever going to be good. Like,
yeah.
There is no chance or is no possible way.
Yeah, and I'm just here to suffer, and I am a failure, and I, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you mean.
That's what I call an episode, and it's where I'm constantly crying. I do think about, in those moments, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I do think about, you know, suicide, and
yeah.
Like, that's...
I've had those moments myself.
That's my only option.
That was my first ever, my personal first ever suicide attempt. That was exactly what I was thinking.
Okay. So you kind of understand.
Yeah, I completely understand.
What an episode is.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I say episode, that's what I mean. And I used to have them all the time. And so this is the difference between why we're talking about this, because you had mentioned earlier before we started recording about bipolar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the difference between bipolar and BPD. So you have this information.
Mm-hmm.
Bipolar is a long period of mania and a long period of depression. BPD is short periods of mania, short periods of depression.
Can you go into detail of what, like, a manic episode is or what mania is?
Absolutely. Okay, so a mania episode, or whatever you want to call it, is where you feel like do you know what euphoria means?
Kinda.
Okay. So, euphoria is like magic almost.
Yeah.
Like the best you could possibly feel, the best you could possibly be.
You feel so confident, you're feeling
yes.
positive. I'm pretty sure I used to have manic episodes a lot, to be honest. I would start to get really depressed, and then that would like click in, and like it was like all of my pain was shoved to the back of my body, and like all my confidence, and like I didn't give a care in the world, and nothing could
go
wrong.
Okay, so then you might have experienced mania. I can't tell you for sure because at that time in your life, I couldn't be with you.
Yeah.
But mania. Okay, so that's when people do certain drugs.
Yeah.
They supposedly experience euphoria. Yes. And all it is, really, honestly, all it is dopamine and norepinephrine and different signals in your brain that
like
we already have.
And stuff.
Yeah. That you already have just an overdose of them.
Mm-hmm.
That is, it's a funny thing about drugs, because they're illegal, but all they're doing is sending off stuff we already have, receptors in our brains that we already have. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a different topic for a different podcast. As I was saying, so mania is pretty much episodes of that. Now, when you have bipolar, you experience long periods of mania, long periods of depression. So that's why when you have BPD, you experience, and it's not really the mania that you experience. You don't really experience a lot of mania when you have BPD. You experience the depression, and it's short burst of super the depression that people get when they have bipolar. But it doesn't last very long. Sometimes it lasts 5 minutes. Sometimes it lasts 5 hours. But it typically lasts no longer than one day. And it usually doesn't even last that long. You go through this, and it's weird because I can feel myself going, like, when I went through these, as I'm explaining this to you, I have been through so many of these in the last 3 years. Now, before the suicide attempt and everything, are you still awake?
Yeah.
Okay. Before the suicide attempt and everything, I literally had these maybe twice a year.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize what those were until, you know, I met Stacy and I met Marcia, and I got these team of people, and they helped me figure out what was going on with me and what was wrong with me. And so that would have been in 2019. And it was crazy because I remember like having these breakdowns like that, but never knowing that they were a thing, because I always recovered from them. And that's the thing with BPD, you always recover from it. Once you cry it out or scream it out, or
uh-huh.
everybody deals with it differently, you literally are able to, okay, I got this. Okay, I got this.
And that's, snap out of it.
Yeah, you, yeah, literally, you snap out of it.
Chill
and,
out.
And you're okay again. Like, now for some people, and this is sad, it makes me sad because I've been one of those people. For some people, you do stay in a depression and you can't get out of it. And that's why 10% of people that, 10% of BPD diagnoses, literally, they do commit suicide and they are successful. It's very sad. About 90% of all people with BPD have suicidal tendencies and thoughts, but 10%
of follow with those actions, with those thoughts,
and are successful.
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, I was almost one of the statistics, and it makes me sad every time I think about it because I remember how easy it was for me, and I don't ever want to feel like that or be like that again, ever. Uh-huh. Even when I have those moments where I'm breaking down and think that's my only option again.
Do people with BPD ever go emotionally numb?
Or are they
overly emotional?
I think all people can feel, I think all people can get
to that point,
numb at some point, even people with BPD.
See, that's one thing I couldn't make out was whether I was having, like, manic episode or if I just, like, literally couldn't feel anything. Because I would go and tell people or, like, family that I literally don't feel anything. I didn't know if that's why I, because, like, when I could just ghost everyone, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel sad about it. I didn't care. I had no care in the world. I would go and do anything. I did not care. I didn't have
care. Are you sure you weren't just suppressing?
I mean, I'm good at doing that, too. It only, took me 2 days to get over Gigi's death, which I feel horrible about, but.
But that's normal because, why? Because you didn't really know Gigi.
I know, but
if it would have been somebody that you were, a family member that you were closer to and spent more time with, yeah. I guarantee that would have been a different story.
I know, but I was just using Gigi's death as an example, but like.
I know, but you don't really like, have a good example.
I don't have one on the top of my head, but I could just say something bad could happen and I could, in a blink of an eye, I could just shove it deep down. And I remember even telling, bio dad's girlfriend that I just like could not, I could just shove all my emotions deep down. They'd come out eventually, but
well,
I didn't know
look how quickly you were able to get your emotions out when you came home. So maybe it was a comfortability fact instead of a feeling numb fact.
Yeah.
Because you have no, like, hesitation now to break down and cry if you need to break down and cry. No. Trust me, what did we go through 2 days ago?
What did we go through yesterday?
Yeah, like, I think that you just weren't able or comfortable because of their tough exteriors and their beliefs and their way of thinking and their, and yeah, it was survival skills, Lana. Remember how I told you I had to learn survival skills when I was growing up?
Because I wasn't allowed to stay up late or anything, I would hurry up and roll over and pretend to be asleep, but I could tell whose footsteps it were. I could tell if it was bio dad or his girlfriend or their kids. I knew exactly who was walking through the house.
Right.
And I still do that now living with you guys, even though I know I'm safe.
But it even goes beyond footsteps, you know. It goes, you know, Phil, or whatever you want to call him, you guys were super, super close, and then he, you know,
got a girlfriend
and started being mean to you and treating you differently, and she was treated you like shit, and so that's when you started learning survival skills. You stopped letting your emotions out. He didn't care that you were upset. He didn't care that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And eventually you had to learn to be tough.
Basically, but that's when I couldn't get my emotions out by crying. It turned into anger. Sure. Like I told you the other day, or yesterday, was it when I had that anger outbreak?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really sorry about that, too.
It's okay.
I didn't mean to.
All right.
But I remember I'd get mad. I would be with my aunt, whatever, but I would be so worried to her because I was so mad at my grandpa that anytime I would come home and I'd throw things, I'd go in my room and just start throwing things, throw my phone. I can't count how many times I just threw my phone at the ground or across the house. And then I was so horrible to her, and it wasn't her fault.
Right.
But I just, like, I couldn't cry because I just, it didn't do anything. So I had to get my emotions out one way, and it turned into violence. Mm-hmm. If you want me to be honest with you, Mom, I think I've probably even hit Kiana. I don't remember clearly because I'm blinded by rage, but...
Well, one day, you know you don't have to do that now. You know you're safe. You know you're at home.
Yesterday, that wasn't even... You've seen me. I threw my brand new phone. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That got her in a little bit of trouble.
And it was over nothing. It literally was over nothing. And I got mad, threw my phone.
We chalked it up to hormones and needing some
Also missed my medication, which my doctor did tell me, don't miss your medication because it can make you feel a little funny.
Yes.
And
yes, really, it did. She did miss her medication, and I feel half responsible for that because I should have made sure she had it. But that's either here nor there. She knows to never miss that again.
Yeah, never throw in my phone again because the one's gone.
Yeah, she lived without it for 45 minutes and thought she was going to die. But moving forward with that conversation as well, what I wanted to say to you, Alana, about the whole Kiana situation is, you know, I know, right, you know you're safe now. You know that you can get your emotions out. You know that
I know. It's just sometimes, like, I still follow some of those traits. Like, as you know, when I lived with Biodad,
You can call him Travis if you'd like.
Yeah, I just didn't know if we should because of all the stuff going on, but...
Well, we won't say last names.
Well, yeah. Travis wasn't a big fan of me ever calling anyone, and now to this day, living with you, I don't really like calling anyone besides you. I don't even call my dad. Not right. Travis. I don't even like calling him. I don't call anyone besides you.
Right. Yo, she don't have a problem calling me, trust me. I know.
but I just feel like I'm gonna get in trouble.
I know, and I think it's silly, but
I know.
I understand. You see how I am with Billy, your dad, or whatever you want me to call him on here.
Dad.
With your dad, I am weirdly obedient. Because I'm afraid I'm going to get in trouble, and he's not my parent. He is my boyfriend, and...
I know, and half the time he doesn't even care.
I know, and I don't know how to, I'm so scared that he is going to
leave
me, or be mad at me, or treat me differently, because of my childhood, that I'm... oddly and weirdly obedient to him and past relationships. I can't say that it's not.
Just that.
But mainly it's because of my childhood, because if we did anything wrong, we would get ridiculously punished or shunned or, you know, whatever the case may have been. So it's... I'm surprised I haven't pushed him completely away sometimes because, I mean, I'm lucky the man loves me and we've been through a lot together. I mean, we both have been through a lot together and we both have tried to push each other away many a times, but we love each other and I'm lucky that he understands.
I know, and I'm lucky
fragile.
To be home and be with my dad.
Yes.
I know, Travis wasn't really my dad. I didn't even start calling him dad, really, until I moved in with him. Because it's kind of weird walking around your house calling him Travis.
Yeah.
But Billy was always my dad.
Yes. I understand that.
And this isn't my mom telling me that, or what was it? Outside, whatever it was.
That I am trying to pressure, I'm pressuring you or talking you or making you say
think or say these things. No. Yeah,
that this is Billy me brainwashing was, you, blah, 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 blah.
Billy was the one that did all the fatherly stuff with me as a child.
Yeah.
It took me a hot minute to warm back up with him because I've been through so much. At first, I really thought that he wasn't going to love me the same because I'm not the same, 11-year-old girl that I used to be. But nope. He does.
But, also, in a sense, you've come around to be that same kid again.
I know.
I'm not emo anymore. You realized you were never freaking, what you want to call it?
Bisexual.
I didn't want to know if you wanted to say that.
I don't care. Half the world knew.
Okay. You realized that that was never even a thing.
Yeah.
I
came out of that.
You didn't come out of it because you were never in it. And that's what I was explaining to you the other night. You remember that conversation? We're not going to have that conversation on here, but...
I don't like girls. I like guys. I knew I did. If you want me to be honest with you, Mom, I think I even told Travis's girlfriend this. I told someone on that side of the family, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I was like, to be honest, for a long time I felt abandoned by you, but, so I was thinking maybe I needed, attention from, I guess, other women.
Okay. I'll accept that.
That's really how I felt, is maybe I thought I started liking girls because I needed attention from other women. Because, I don't know, my mother left. And I don't really know how to explain it, but you get it.
Yeah, I get it.
Thank you for going slow over that.
But I want you to also know, I want you to also know, like, straight up front that, like we discussed the other day, you wanting attention from other women because you were lacking something that you were craving as a child does not make you a lesbian or bisexual.
I wasn't lesbian. I was bisexual. I was pansexual, Mom.
Somebody once told me that they were pansexual about in 2018, I think it was. Yes, it was. And, I literally thought, I was literally told that pansexuality was you would make out with a tree. Like you were.
That was what I was told, but it's not. It's not
you,
what it means.
You would, you're everything sexual when you're pansexual.
Yeah, that's what I thought for a long time, but really it's lesbians like women, bisexuals like women and men, but. Like, pansexuals, like, all the genders, I guess? Like, a non-binary or a...
Non-binary likes all the genders, I thought.
No, that's pansexual, I believe.
What's a non-binary?
A non-binary is someone that doesn't identify as man or a woman. They don't have a... They don't identify as either.
Okay, but that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire existence is... If you have a penis, you are a man. If you have a vagina, you are a woman. I don't care if you get it chopped off or change it, and you want to call yourself a... If you were born a man and you change that shit, and you want to call yourself a woman, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I don't care. But if you have a wang dang, you are a man until you don't have a wang dang. Oh, my God. This world, I tell you what. These people are fucking nuts. Anyway, moving on from this shit, before I have a coronary. So, back to what we were talking about. I was going to tell you, too, before we change the subject on this part. One day, I know you love Kiana, and I know that Kiana is probably never going to break out of her prison sentence. whatever you want to call it. I don't know what to call it. But
one I don't blame Kiana for her actions, really. She didn't really do anything, but she was raised around all that and doesn't really think any of it's wrong, I don't think.
I don't think she does either, because she doesn't know any better.
Yeah.
And if she does know any better, she's scared, or she doesn't want to be alone, because she doesn't have nobody other than her family, because she don't have...
I know, for a long time, she didn't have nobody really but me.
Yeah, I mean...
That's why me and her were so close, is because I didn't like anyone else in our family, really, besides my cousin.
I do know for sure, 100% for sure, that Kiana... I mean, Kiana doesn't have any friends because she don't.
Yeah, I know. Her best friend is Charlie.
Right. And, like, I mean, I can't...
Not talking crap, Kiana, if you're listening.
Yeah, like, I mean, she just... I don't know if it's this... She doesn't like people.
I don't know. Kiana, I don't really know.
She's always been quiet, but I don't know if she's just because fucking people suck and she knows
it. Amen!
And that's why she's never really came out of that shell, or I don't know.
People, if I'm correct, I don't know. Kiana likes being by herself. She likes to be able to keep to herself. She likes to be able to go to work or
be her own boss,
be her own person.
Independent. And
she'd rather go read a book than go hang out with someone. She'd rather go make some cool vegan freaking gourmet meal.
And there ain't nothing wrong with that. You know why? Because you know what? The one thing that she's got going for her is she is never going to be subjected to the heartache of people and friends and boyfriends and bullshit.
I know. To be honest, I
kind of envy her a little bit.
I really do. Kiana is someone I could, in a way, I could actually look up. Look at her. She got her own business at 18. Makes her own money. She takes care of herself. And for the most part, she's pretty good.
She fucking supports her fucking brother.
Yeah, I know.
I don't recommend that.
Like, I know, but Kiana is the most successful. She's 25 now. 25-year-old woman I know.
And I envy her a little bit, because she is never going to
She's not superficial.
Right. She's not at all. And she's never going to hurt the way that I hurt. Ever. Ever. And it kind of makes me a little envious. And it shouldn't. And I mean, I'm not like fucking the green fucking wicked witch or nothing over it. But it's just I wish that I could know what it's like to be like that just for a day. You know?
I know. That's why Kiana's life was a perfect, like, schedule. When I lived with her, to be honest, we had a pretty good schedule. I got up,
I
did, like, an hour or two of
Work. About your schedule with Kiana and your fighting with Kiana and blah, blah, blah.
Well, not besides that. I'm not talking about the bad parts. I'm talking about the best memories I have. When I think of Kiana, I really have to think hard. Like, you know how I tell you, like, I can't think about any of the good times that ever happened. I can only remember the bad times. Mm-hmm. Well, with Kiana, it takes me a little bit longer to remember the bad times than does the good times. With Kiana,
that's good.
We got up. We might argue a little bit in the mornings because I didn't want to get up. Of course, I argue with you because I don't want to get up.
I know. And you used to be such a morning person.
Well, when you don't sleep very well or have dreams all night long, it's kind of hard to...
Well, I am the utter opposite until, like... Now, when I was your age, though, I freaking sleep 2 or 3 hours, and I was fucking good to go my whole life.
But with Kiana, it was get up, I finished my schoolwork for the day, which didn't take me very long because I didn't have much to do, and then we would go on a walk. We would be out of the house for like a good 3 to 4 hours.
I know, and that's why I told you when you start doing that.
I know, but it was really fun with Kiana because we would go geocaching, or we would go identify bugs and leaves, and we'd go on far walks, and it'd be the most beautiful thing ever. Like, their area, where they live, is so beautiful. And or we take one of the dogs with us. We take Charlie with us. But wow. And then we'd go home, and we would make some bomb food. food. Like, I remember peanut butter noodles that you will not try.
Hell to the no.
And then we've had pumpkin noodles. They were okay, but you had to put a lot of sriracha on it to make it really good. Or cookies.
I want to try, like, squash noodles and stuff like that. So. But I'm not making them homemade. I'll bite them out of the freezer.
Or we would make cookies. And then it got bad when I had to go work out with Phil and go to Nicole's house because I hated it over there so bad. So that's why when Phil finally was like, pack your bags, you can go live with your dad. That's why I was like, I didn't want to, by no means. I was just kind of rebelling against Phil because I was like tired of how it was there.
And now is that when you started wearing the weird clothes and shit?
When I started wearing the weird clothes and I don't really remember. I was still living with Kiana, but it was shortly after that I started going with Phil. You can't tell me that it's your fault that I started wearing the weird clothes.
Just because I introduced you to music doesn't mean I introduced you to weird clothes.
You introduced me to Lil Peep, and then I got into the whole Lil Peep fandom, which I still love Lil Peep. I still listen to him now. But, and Suicide Boys and Ghost Mane and all that.
I don't like Suicide Boys or Ghost Mane, but Lil Peep's got a few good songs I really like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's when I got into that whole fandom, and that's when I became emo, and then on August 11th, 2020, that's when I decided I was going to come out because I was feeling that way, and I came out to my friends. And
quit calling it coming out because you were never came out because you were never that way.
And then I told Kenzie, and she went and told Travis. But,
of course.
I know, she was like all...
Surprised she remembered.
I know. It really hurt me one thing that she did because... I don't know if
you don't have to say that out here.
What?
If you're talking about that one thing that she did, Roger. Forgot about.
Roger?
Yeah. I mean, you can if you want, but you don't have to.
Yeah, because it was a really painful thing when she told me this. So I had told her about my what even is it? Sexual abuse.
It would be child
molestation.
Molestation, yes.
I had told her, and then I brought it up a couple months later, and she was completely shocked. She had completely forgot.
She was oblivious to the whole thing.
She was completely oblivious to it. And that hurt, because that was something really, really big in my life.
Right.
Something that affected me every day, whether I showed it or not.
And, I understand completely. It's, it'll haunt, like, I want to kill this motherfucker. And I always said I would. I said if anybody ever touched my kids like that, I would fucking slaughter them. But he's already in prison, and I can't really break into prison to go kill him. I thought about it. I just didn't know how I would do it. Because it's a man. I mean, I would have to get, a sex change. And, I mean.
Go to prison.
Yeah. It would
shank him.
It'd be like, he'd be dead by the time I fucking was able to accomplish all this. And.
I know. I really hope my case goes well.
Yes,
I don't think my worker or lady, whatever she is.
She's on it. Lana, listen. It is it's the government. It's the law. It takes forever. And I am on her ass all the time. And she is constantly in contact back with me when I ask her any questions. Because I don't trust DCFS.
I don't really trust them either. They didn't get my brothers out of that hellhole.
I don't trust, that's still an open investigation. It's never been closed yet.
I know,
I know, and I, trust me, more than anybody in the world, listen, DCFS was regular visitors at your fucking Grandma Lori's house, or whatever you want to call her.
Grandma Lori. I can't call her anything else.
Regular visitors at our home as a child, and it was disgusting because there was several times that they could have rescued us. Yes,
got you out of there, but they didn't.
Yes, So
I know, I just, if they did take the boys away, they have no other better place to go to. Maybe the youngest, but the oldest, his dad's a piece of crap too.
Well, you know, sometimes
I feel bad for leaving the oldest one, because
sometimes
he hid in my room when they were arguing, because he knew that Travis or his girlfriend were gonna go in there and you start screaming, yelling, or doing something to him. I normally put my headphones in. I couldn't even tell you how many days I just sat in my room with the headphones
in. Kinsey would yell at Preston too.
Yeah. They literally hated him. I've heard that with their own mouths.
God. She needs to freaking get her kids taken away from her.
I know. But it's normal to those boys now. It's normal to them. Tyler is...
will never, ever be normal to them. It will never, ever...
Well,
they know it's wrong. And trust me, Mana. Trust me. I know from experience that they will always know, no matter how they grow up, no matter what they become when they become older, or when they get older, they will always know that what they went through was not
normal.
Acceptable.
There's no such thing as normal. My favorite book, Mom, actually, I gotta tell you this, Kiana recommended it to me, Waiting for Normal. That is the best book I've ever read in my life.
I'll have to read it because it sounds like something I would enjoy.
It would be. That best book of my life.
But you're exactly right. And there is no such thing as normal.
But
there is something called the majority.
Yeah.
And those boys will grow up knowing that they lived a life that was not of the majority. And to be honest with you, the more and more society grows, the more and more a dysfunctional life is becoming the majority. I don't know if you have read any of my articles or listened to any of my podcasts or whatever, but there's actually more families that are growing, more kids that are growing up these days that have dysfunctional lives,
uh-huh.
broken families, broken homes, than there are that are not.
I swear to God, most of it is like, I don't know, I think, I don't want, okay, so really a lot of it is alcohol abuse and drug abuse, if you want me to be honest. And then there's some that are just complete a-holes. But like when Phil, there was a difference between Phil when he was sober
mm-hmm.
and when he was drinking, or if he was smoking.
Yep.
He didn't smoke weed very often, but he was a retard when he was.
Yep.
But drinking him was, you either got a good side or you got a side that you didn't want to be around, because he just turned, he didn't like hit me or anything. He's never hit me. But
well, that's good, because that fucking beat his ass.
No, he's never hit me or anything. He just, it's like, he either got a good side, like one time, I got the game Sims on my on my PS4.
Uh-huh.
And then there'd be another time he's sitting there yelling at me, calling me ungrateful and stuff, and how I'm superficial, like, or I don't even think he was drunk when he was making me write that superficial thing, but I had to write, when I was, 11, I think, I had to write a whole
You told me about
page.
That. That was one of the times that you, were Instagramming me and telling me, you wanted to come home, that you wanted me to come get you, blah, blah, blah.
Because he was literally calling me superficial because I didn't, or what was it? I didn't want to, or because I wanted nice clothes. I got hand-me-downs from Bree, and I know he's like, well, I bought her clothes. You bought me a Walmart shirt and took me shopping once when I didn't even live with you. A lot of the clothes that I had, I bought, or my best friend's mom gave me some of her old clothes.
I took you shopping once. I sent you clothes. I sent
I
you
didn't
money
get,
for
I've
clothes.
Never, I've only gotten from you, I've only gotten your Valentine's Day gifts and then those gift cards right there at the end before I moved in with you.
You didn't get anything that I've sent you?
No.
I sent you money?
No, I didn't get anything besides Valentine's Day gifts. And then a letter, too.
Christmas?
No.
Your birthday?
No. You didn't know that? I didn't get any of
I kind of had a feeling,
Same. I'm pretty sure it's same with Allie. I don't think she's gotten anything we've ever sent her.
I think Allie probably got the shit. She just probably didn't know it was from me. Because that's how Andy would pull that. I know Andy well enough to know that that's how he would do it. Phil, on the other hand, he had money to make sure that you
had everything I needed,
and nothing that you, he has money to make sure you had everything that you wanted too. But he obviously didn't.
I know. I could hear him right now. I did so much for her. I bought her a phone. I got that phone for my birthday, and I paid you half of it back. Yeah, well, I just used that money to buy you other things. I mean, I still gave you braces. What? He did give me braces. I will give him that. He spent that $7,000 on my braces. I will give him that.
It's not like.
But if he did buy me anything, or took me out to eat, it was because I was mad at him because he hurt me, my feelings, so he would go and pay for my love. I literally have told, I'm pretty sure I've told Kiana, he literally is trying to buy my love because he hurt me so bad. I lived with Phil, or I lived with Travis, and that was a lot of dysfunction, but when I lived with Phil, he hurt me bad. The amount of times sorry if this makes you sad or not, Mom. The amount of times I have tried to kill myself in that house was way too many. The first time I ever self-harm is because he had made me feel completely worthless, and I went in and found a pair of scissors and started cutting myself because of what Phil did. Anytime I ever try to come to him, I remember one time he told me, because I told him that I don't like Nicole. I don't like you when you're with Nicole because you're a complete different person. You are so mean to me. No, we're joking with you. I'm not laughing.
Right.
That hurts me. Every time. Well, don't you care about how I feel?
They manipulate you into...
Manipulate me. That was the first time I truly noticed... That was the first time I truly noticed the manipulation. Because that was so retarded that he said that. I'm like... You go around and tell people I'm almost like your daughter, and then you go in and hurt me like that. The amount of times, I remember the first time I tried to kill myself, I went to the school the next day, my school counselor, and I told her, and she called him. And then they asked me, have you done it before? I was like, yeah. Or I guess it wasn't my first time. The first time I actually did something, but not really, it just made me dizzy, when I took 9 ibuprofens. And... He was like, have you done this before? And I was like, yeah. And
it was while you were living there every time?
Not every time. Okay. When I lived with Travis.
But it was never when you were with me.
I didn't even think about that. I wasn't suicidal whatsoever. I didn't become suicidal until he got with his girlfriend, or Phil got with Nicole. And they made, literally, I would go there and cry every single day, and they would... I don't even know if they noticed, and if they did notice, they didn't care.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Or I remember their oldest daughter, my ex-best friend, she would get mad, and I'm going to kill myself. And I'm like, no, you're not. Because I don't think you've ever actually felt that way. You're having a little fit right now.
But.
You don't know what it feels like to actually be that close to killing yourself.
But. Listen. I'm going to tell you something right now, mm-hmm. and you're going to remember this for the rest of your life. It does not matter if you think somebody's just doing it for attention or not.
I still supported her. I still gave her a hug. I still calmed her down.
If somebody says it out loud, they've at least thought about it.
True.
So if they're thinking about it, you don't know. You never know. Sometimes the people that do say they're going to do it eventually... do it, and sometimes the people that never say nothing at all do it.
I know, I never said anything.
Okay, guys, we are going to take a short break and we will be right back. We got to get some gas and some batteries for our lights.